All right. Today, we are going to wrap up this series that we've been a part of, that we've gone through, called Gifted. Everybody say Gifted. And we have been focusing on the spiritual gifts that God gives to the church, more specifically what we call the sign gifts. And what we mean by that is these are supernatural gifts that God gives to the church to reveal himself as a supernatural God. And so these are gifts that they're not natural abilities that you and I would typically have. These are spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit of God gives to believers and places on the inside of us to use us as signs that point to him. And we've been talking about how anytime a sign points to anything other than him, it is not a gift from God. Because all gifts from God have been given by God for the glory of God. And so we want to talk about this because as a church, what we have established is that we are a church that believes in the full manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That means that we believe that these signs not only exist, we believe that they are still for today, that they are still in operation, and they're absolutely essential for the benefit of the church being both productive and useful. And so, as a pastor, I could tell you this series has been a little bit hard for me because I wouldn't consider myself to be a good teacher. Okay? I feel like my gifting is in like prophetically preaching and like getting you excited and everything. So I wouldn't necessarily say that my gifting is like breaking things down very simply. But I have been challenging myself because what I have been reminding myself is that as a pastor, it is not my job to entertain you. As a pastor, it's not my job to make you feel good. It's not my job to scratch your ears. Yes, part of my job is encouraging you. Part of my job is keeping you engaged and so that you might be able to receive the gospel. But ultimately, my job as a pastor is not simply to just be a communicator. I'm not a TED Talk communicator, okay? My job as a pastor is to reveal the whole truth of God's word to you. My job as a pastor is to disciple you and to reveal to you the truth of God's word, the full truth of God's word, the unadulterated truth of God's word. And so it's important that we go through series like this, that we break things down and that we go deep into God's word, because it's important for you to know what you believe, because as we have stated over and over again, what you believe ultimately impacts the way that you live. What you believe ultimately impacts the way that you live. And it's important that you not only know what to believe, but why you believe it. And your why should not simply be because somebody who has some resemblance of influence was standing on a stage and had a microphone and told you what to believe. It's important that you know why you believe what you believe, because you open up the Bible for yourself and you read it and study it, because as we're going to learn about today, not everything that looks spiritual is of the Spirit. And so it's important that you know how to differentiate between what is the Word of God and what is the Word of man. Okay? And so we're gonna bring this to a conclusion, but my hope and my prayer is that this throughout this series, you haven't just been taught why we believe the gifts are for today, but you understand why it's important to know what each gift is and why each gift has been given and how each gift should be functioned, because you never want to be turned away from, or you never want to be, how do I put it? You never want to be confused. You never want to be deceived simply because someone tells you they're representing God. And so today, This series, we talked about topics. We talked about the gifts of wisdom. We talked about the gift of discernment, faith, healing, miracles. Last week, we had a very difficult one, which was the gift of tongues. You can go back. Actually, I'm sorry. You can't go back and listen to that one because the audio was messed up in the recording. But the notes are in our church app. So if you haven't downloaded our church app, it's the Kingdom Co. CC app. You could download it by going to our website, kingdomco.cc, and clicking on app. And the sermon notes are in there from last week. But this week, we want to focus on the gift of prophecy. Everybody's like, ooh. The gift of prophecy. I believe that the gift of prophecy is not only still in function today, but it is essential to the church. Here's why I believe that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says this. Let's read it all together. How about that? It says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, I want you to really notice the language and the words that Paul uses as he's writing to the church. He says, pursue love. That word pursue in its original language actually means to run swiftly after, to catch it, to press on, to pursue in a hostile manner. It basically means to violently pursue and chase after. That what we should do as it pertains to the spiritual gifts as a church is to violently chase after them, to see them fully manifested in the church so that the church might be blessed by these gifts that God blesses his church with. And so Paul says, pursue them, violently chase after them, vehemently chase after them. But then he continues and he says, and earnestly desire. That means to desire with a passion, to be full of zeal for something, to be envious and be jealous for. So what he's saying is, I want you to be vehemently passionate about the spiritual gifts of God. That's why for me, it's hard to understand why there are so many churches today who would be considered what they call cessationists, because Paul wrote to the church that we should desire these things vehemently, earnestly, to pursue them and to see them activated in the church. That's why I could never ascribe to cessationists. And listen, there's nothing wrong. If you believe that these gifts are not for today, we love you. You are a brother and sister in Christ. You and I will still make it to heaven. We will still be worshiping Jesus in heaven. We're still a part of the kingdom. This is a secondary issue. But the Bible truly encourages us to pursue these things, to believe these things, to desire for these things to be active in the church. But Paul goes even further to describe that there's a gift that we should especially desire, and that is the gift of prophecy. Because he says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, that word prophesy, there's many people that would say, well, what he's talking about there is not so much a prophetic gift of maybe what we would describe as foretelling the future, but it's more foretelling the truth of God's word under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That it's not so much this prophetic knowledge that people receive that they wouldn't otherwise receive on their own, but it's more preaching the word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, which there's an element of that to be true, but I believe it is incomplete because if that's what Paul meant, he could have actually used the word that existed for preaching in the original language, which was caruso, which meant to proclaim or to preach. But the word that Paul uses in this verse is not caruso. He actually uses the word for prophesy, which is prophetuo, which means to prophesy, to be a prophet, or to speak forth by divine inspirations, to predict. It says to prophesy, to be a prophet, speak forth by divine inspiration, or to predict. In other words, it has the idea of foretelling future events pertaining especially to the kingdom of God. So he doesn't use the word for preach, which is caruso. He uses the word for prophesy, which is prophetuo, which is very specific in that it is a supernatural gift to be able to predict or foretell things that you would not be able to predict or foretell. And I believe that this is a gift that we all see throughout the entire Bible. If you read the Bible is flooded with examples of people who operated under the gift of prophecy. And we see that it serves so many functions. The word prophesy or prophecy is mentioned over and over again. And we see these people functioning in these gifts. And oftentimes we see them function in one of three ways or one of three distinct ways that it serves. The first one is by foretelling the future. Foretelling the future. Now, this is not the same. I want to make this very clear. This is not the same as going to a fortune teller. This is not the same as consulting tarot card readers. This is not the same as looking at zodiac stuff. Remember, I said not everything that looks spiritual is of the Holy Spirit. Everything may be a spirit, but just because it may be a spirit does not mean that it is the Holy Spirit. And rather than it building you up, if you're going to these fortune tellers and these tarot card readers and you're focusing on the zodiac signs and this and that, you might be opening up yourself not to be built up, but to be bound up. That's why it's important to know the difference between what is of the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of hell, and what is of the kingdom of God. It's totally different between a spirit and the Holy Spirit. A spirit may look like the Holy Spirit, but it's not always the Holy Spirit. I could prove it to you. In the Bible, in the book of Acts, there was this girl who the Bible tells us was a person who operated in divination. Divination is this spiritual thing that happens when a familiar spirit, demonic spirit, reveals things of the spirit to a person. And so this girl was basically a fortune teller. She was she operated in divination. And as Peter and another apostle were walking through a city, this girl began to shout because she saw how they operated in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. She began to shout, "These people are men of God. These are the men of God. These are the men of God." Point where Paul got annoyed and he cast a demon out of her, and he revealed that not everything that looks like the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. How do you know the difference? Well, when it takes away from the glory of God, when it draws attention to oneself, if it draws away your attention, your affection, if it causes you to depend on it, if it causes you to put your faith in anything other than God, it is not of the Holy Spirit. So please, be careful that just because somebody can foretell something doesn't always mean that it is the Spirit of God speaking and operating. And this is important because there are way too many people who are dependent on some prophetic word to be revealed to them so that they can make a decision in their life do I go to this school? Do I go to that school? Should I stay at my job? Should I go to this job? Should I marry this person? Should I marry that person? God, would you just speak to me and send somebody to speak to me? Not everybody that comes to speak to you is speaking on behalf of God. And you need to know how to differentiate between the two. You don't need a prophetic word when you have the written word. Now, that's not to discount. We're going to talk about this. It's not to discount the prophetic word. But it's just to let you know that the prophetic word is trumped by the written word. The written word of God. So, one of the functions is foretelling the future, or, as I would put it, giving divine insight on things to come. Divine insight on things to come. We see that in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 27 to 30. We see where it says, "Now, in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea, and they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul." So what we see is that there was this prophet by the name of Agabus. Thank God for the prophets Agabus, because those people who are not typically casted, not typically shined a light on, you only see Agabus a couple times in the New Testament, but he obviously had some influence. He obviously had some giftings. He obviously operated under the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we see that it benefited the church. But Agabus shows up and he says, "Hey, the Lord revealed to me there's going to be a famine." So what ends up happening? They're able to collect. They're able to provide. They're able to serve one another so that the church would not have a need. That's what a gift of prophecy does. It foretells events that are coming, that may be coming, that haven't yet come. The second function of prophecy is giving direction. Giving direction. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 2, it says this. "Now there in the church at Antioch, prophets, now there were in the church at Antioch, prophets and teachers, Barnabas Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" So what do we see? The Holy Spirit giving church leaders direction on who was called and who was not. Who to appoint and who not to appoint. Who to establish and who not to establish. It's important that you understand that when you are operating under the gift of the Holy Spirit in a prophetic way, you have to learn what it looks like to be led by the Spirit. Because if you don't understand how to be led by the Holy Spirit, you will end up overstepping the Holy Spirit, which would end up causing dysfunction, disunity, division, chaos, confusion in people's lives. And so the Holy Spirit manifests in a prophetic way to give direction in ways that need to be given. The third function of the prophetic gift is to give correction. Now, we don't like this one because we don't like to be corrected. Can we be honest for a second? Hi, I'm Jose. Nice to meet you guys. I don't like to be corrected. We don't like to be corrected. But the prophetic word is given to provide correction in areas that need to be corrected. Correction is a beautiful thing. The Bible says that God chastises those he loves. The moment you do not receive correction, I'd be worried that I'm not being loved. Because if I love you, then I'm not going to allow you to lead down a path that might lead you to destruction. And so the Holy Spirit manifests itself in people to be able to provide correction in the areas that need to be corrected. If it's anything outside of these three functions, you have to be super careful. Because you, if you allow yourself, will be deceived and led astray. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24 to 25 says. It says, but if all prophesy, an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. What we see is the purpose of the correction of the prophetic word. It is not to discourage people. It is not to condemn people. It is not to throw people aside. It's not to discommunicate people. It is not to reject people. It's actually to bring people to a place where they might fall on their faces and worship God and ask for forgiveness and bring him glory through repentance. That is the purpose for which prophetic correction is brought. And so, we should also see this in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. When John writes a prophetic letter to the churches, and you see where he writes to the church of Ephesus, the church of Pergamum, the church of Sardis, where he is correcting these things that are happening in the church, how they've lost their first love, how they compromised, how they're doing certain things that they should not be doing. And this is why Paul, I believe, so vehemently wants the church to desire the gift of prophecy more than tongues, which is in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, because prophecy serves to build, encourage, and comfort the church. I'll say it again. Prophecy serves to build, encourage, and comfort the church. In foretelling the future, prophecy is serving to build, encourage, and comfort the church. In giving direction, prophecy is serving to build, encourage, and comfort the church. In giving correction, prophecy serves to build, encourage, and comfort the church. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, Paul continues and he says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people. Now, what he's saying is, if you look at the verse before that, he says, if the one who speaks in tongues speaks to God, meaning that tongues is a gift that benefits me. But prophetic word is a gift that benefits others. See, tongues, I'm speaking to God. Through prophetic word, God is speaking to people through people. And so he says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. You see, in contrast to the gift of the tongues, where a person speaks to God, prophecy is where God uses people supernaturally to speak to people. And he does so for the sake of upbuilding people and the church in faith, encouraging people in their faith, and consoling or comforting in faith. Notice the positive nature and purpose of the gift of prophecy. And we have to establish this because there is never, hear me when I say this, there is never a negative impact with a prophetic word. Even if it is a prophetic word of correction. I've been in situations where people will come and they'll say something that is just extremely out of pocket. Just extremely out of pocket. Here's what a prophetic word is not. Hey, you're going to die in 3 days. You laugh. But there's people who believe that. How many times have we seen, hey, it's been revealed to me that on such and such date, the world is going to end. Really? Because the Bible tells me that there is a time that is coming for which no man knows. But you're the special one that God revealed, even though he said he would not reveal it. The Bible says that he would come like a thief in the night. No one will see it coming. But you have a specific date that you feel that the Holy Spirit of God revealed to you that the world is coming to an end. And I find it ironic that while people have been brought to fear believing that the world is coming to an end, these same people seem to benefit financially and bank accounts are growing and houses are being purchased, but the world is supposed to be ending. Come on, people, we need to wake up because we are being easily deceived because the church is becoming more biblically illiterate. The more biblically illiterate a people become, the easier it is to manipulate, deceive, and control. That's why this is important. That's why it might seem boring to you, but it might actually prevent you from making a horrible decision in your life. It might seem boring to you, but it actually might prevent you from leading down a path that might be destructive, from giving your money to the wrong people and the wrong institutions, from marrying and getting into relationships that you should not be getting into, from being involved in situations that you should not be involved in, had you known how to differentiate and do what Paul teaches us later on in the chapter, which is to weigh and to test every prophetic word. You see, prophecy can be extremely beneficial because it upbuilds, it lifts, it edifies, it encourages, it comforts, and it gives strength. But a prophetic word, even if it is corrective, will build someone up and not tear them down. A prophetic word, even if it is corrective, will always lead to encouragement and not discouragement. A prophetic word will always produce comfort and strength and not weaken a person. So be careful with what people are speaking into your life, claiming to be speaking on behalf of God, because if you are not careful, those people might actually be able to manipulate you, control you, cause all kinds of confusion in your life, cause all kinds of chaos. And so while Paul says, hey, I want you to especially pursue and chase after and desire this gift of prophetic word, I also want you to be careful. I want you to be careful. Because while it is a beautiful gift, while it is a gift with a great purpose of edifying and building up, you also have to be extremely cautious and be extremely careful, because there's a lot of deception in the church. You see, remember that in chapter 12 of the first book of 1 Corinthians, the reason why Paul is writing these things to the church, he says specifically, is he did not want them to be ignorant concerning the things of the Spirit, because ignorance leads to perishing. That's why the Bible says, without knowledge, my people perish. Ignorance leads to destruction. And he says, if you're gonna operate in these gifts, if you're gonna see the manifestation of the Spirit, because remember that the church of Corinthians, or the church of Corinth, was a very spiritually gifted church, but a very spiritually immature church. And there is no point in being spiritually gifted if you're going to be spiritually immature. Because if you're spiritually gifted and spiritually immature, you are going to mess it up big time. Big time. So I'd rather than focusing on, hey, do you believe whether the gifts of the Spirit are for today or not today? Or, hey, do you believe in the gift of tongues and healing and miracles, signs and wonders? I'd rather focus on, hey, is our church spiritually mature enough to deal with the gifts of healing, signs, wonders, miracles, faith, prophetic word, and tongues? That's what I'd rather deal with. I'd rather know that our church is spiritually mature enough to be able to navigate through these waters, to be able to operate in these gifts, to be able to serve one another for the glory of God, than to see these things acting out and being manifested in chaos, which was what Paul's point was. He didn't want them to be ignorant. So Paul, not only does he tell them to desire fervently the gift of prophecy, but he also gives them some cautions. And in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29, he says this as it pertains to the prophetic gift. He says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others, look at that word, weigh what is said. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh on what is said. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. It says, do not quench the Spirit of God. In other words, don't diminish him. Don't quench the fire. Don't be skeptical. Don't do all that stuff, right? Do not despise prophecies, verse 21, but test everything. If there's ever an encouragement in the Bible to be a little bit cynical, that's it right there. Test everything. You can't fall for everything. Test everything. If you don't test everything, you will fall to everything. If you don't test everything, you will fall to everything. That's why he says, hold fast to what is good. Hold fast to what is good. Paul encourages the church not to be overly critical of the prophetic gift, but to be overly careful not to be led astray by the prophetic gift. He teaches us not to be critical, but to be careful. You can't just accept that every prophetic word is a word from God. Prophetic words should be weighed, judged, and tested. Prophetic words should be weighed, judged, and tested, because not everyone that claims to speak from the Lord is speaking from the Lord. And you need to be able to tell when it is God and when it is not. And here's the thing. Even when it is God, you got to know that it is the right thing that God is leading you to. You got to be able to differentiate and discern what you should do with the word he's been giving you. Because, here, check out what 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says. Where are we at here? 1 John 4, 1. Looks like I didn't put it in there. We'll read it. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Even though there are people that God speaks through, they are still just people. You have to be careful, because even though God speaks through people, they are still just people. They are still fallible. They're still imperfect. They are still able to miss the mark and get it wrong. So you need to understand this, because I think it's important to understand that whether you are a person receiving a prophetic word or you're a person giving a prophetic word, just because you are sent by God does not mean that you are going as God. There's a big difference. Just because God has called you to speak for him does not mean that you are going as him. Remember that you are limited. Remember that you are fallible. Remember that you are not perfect and that you do not have it all together. And you are not the know-all and be-all. You are not omniscient. You are not all-powerful. You are not omnipresent. You are not God. You are gifted by God to speak for him. You are gifted by God and sent by God to speak on his behalf, but you are never sent as him. That's the difference between who you should receive a word from and who you shouldn't receive a word from. Someone who's trying to lord over you, gain control over you, manipulate you, and deceive you is not sent by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces freedom, not bondage. The only person that ever has control over you is the Spirit of the living God who is seated on the throne. Even though people are speaking under the power, under the gift of the Holy Spirit, does not mean that they are the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important that you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit for yourself, so that you are able to discern, even if somebody is giving you a word from the Holy Spirit, you're able to discern what you are supposed to do with it. Because if you're not, even if it is a word from God, you could actually be led down the wrong path. I'll prove it to you in just a second. But I need you to first understand that people are simply people. And anyone that is being used by God to deliver a prophetic word is sent by God, not as God. It's a big, big difference. So how do we weigh or test prophetic words to know if they are from the Lord? Real quick, how do we know how to weigh or test prophecy? The very first one is simple. Filter the prophetic word through the written word. Filter the prophetic word through the written word. If it does not line up with the word of God, it is not a word from God. Write that down somewhere. If it is not backed up, does not fall in line with, does not submit to the word of God, the written word of God, which is final, that no one can add to this thing. If it's not submitted to the word of God, if it's not found in the word of God, if it's not confirmed by the word of God, if it's not in line with the word of God, then it is not a word from God. I don't care who gave it to you. Even if it's me. You need to be able to say, I know what Pastor Jose said, but I also know what my word says, because hear me, I am a very fallible human being. I'm not God, and I will bring up. There are times where conversations need to be had of, hey, you said this. Can we actually sit down through the word and decipher whether or not that was accurate? And every pastor should be able to be humble enough to be able to sit down and have that conversation. And I pray that I do have that humility to be able to do so. But you need to know the word of God for yourself. In fact, the Bible in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, teaches us that we are to be a people of the word who are dwelling in the word, and the word is dwelling on us, in us. That's why it says, let the word of God dwell among you richly. The second thing is, does it bring God glory? If it brings glory to a person, it is not a person being led by God. If it does not bring glory to God and glory to God alone, it is not from God. Because God only provides and gives us gifts that bring him glory. And that's it. The gifts have been given to us so that God might be glorified. The third question you could ask is it edifying? Does it build me up? Does it build up my faith? Does it bring me closer to God? Does it strengthen the spirit within me? Is it building me up, or is it weighing me down? Is it tearing me down? Is it breaking me down? Is it making me less? Because
Because if it's not building up your spirit and your faith, God never operates, hear me, even when he corrects you, it's never to tear you down. It is always to build you up in the character that he created you to have. Is it edifying? Because the purpose of the prophetic word, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, is to build up people and the church. The fourth thing I would tell you is to test a prophet, not just a prophecy. Test a prophet, not just a prophecy. Here's why I say that. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20, shock, I don't think I put it in there. Can you find it real quick? Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20. It says this. Beware of false prophets. Do we got it? You'll get it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. I'll read it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in the sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They come a certain way. They come looking as if they represent God, but on the inside, they're looking to kill you, right? We all know that ravenous wolves eat meek little sheep, right? We understand this. He says, you will recognize them by their, everybody say it, fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by this fruit, by their fruit. Now, there have been times where pastors, preachers will use this verse to differentiate between believers and non-believers. But what they're talking about is not believers and non-believers. What it's talking about is prophets versus false prophets. It's people who declare to bring the truth, but they're not actually bringing the truth. They're bringing false witness. And so Matthew wants you to understand that if you're going to receive from these people, you need to be able to discern whether these people are sent by God and look at the evidence of their lives. What are their fruits? What does their character look like? Are they under some kind of authority, or do they operate as a lone wolf or rebel? Are they willing to submit or not willing to submit? Are they arrogant? Are they prideful? Are they looking to benefit from what they're doing? Are they looking to gain glory and fame from what they're doing? Are they looking to get influence from what they're doing? You need to not only be able to test the prophetic word, but also be able to test the prophet from which it comes from. Because not every prophet is a true prophet. And the last thing that I would encourage you to do is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and grow in your ability to discern by the Spirit. Can I tell you and just encourage you with telling you that the same Holy Spirit that lives in me or any other prophet, preacher, evangelist, apostle, missionary, whatever part they play in the church is the same Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. And the same way that that Holy Spirit leads me, he leads you. And the same way that that Holy Spirit speaks to me, he speaks to you. The same way the Holy Spirit will reveal his word to me is the same way the Holy Spirit will reveal his word to you. There is nothing significant about any pastor, leader, missionary, apostle, evangelist, blah, 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 and on and on and on and on with the titles and the positions and the accolades. The same Holy Spirit that is living on the inside of us is living on the inside of you. So learn to hear his voice. Learn to receive his direction. Learn to discern his leading. I'll give you an example of this in Acts chapter 2, verse 10 to 14. We are introduced to a story in the book of Acts where Paul is getting ready to be arrested. He's getting ready to go into Jerusalem, and we are brought back to this prophet named Agabus. And the Bible says in verse 10, while we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So I'll pause, because what's happening here is Agabus, the prophet, which we were introduced to earlier, he goes into their service or their gathering, and he takes Paul's belt. He's like, give me your belt, bro. And he binds it up his hands, and he takes his hands, and he lifts them up for everybody to see. And he said, the same way that you see me, this is what's going to happen to the owner of this belt when he goes to Jerusalem. He's going to be bound up. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be persecuted and mistreated. And look what happens. That's the prophetic word, that Paul was going to be arrested. Look what happens in verse 12. When we heard this, we and the people were urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. So they said, wait, this can't be. We can't let this happen. It's the prophetic word that God spoke, that Paul was going to be arrested, that he was going to be persecuted, that he was going to be bound up. And the people were so full of sorrow that they said, no, we can't let this happen. This will not happen. We cannot let him go up to Jerusalem. Look at Paul's response. Verse 13, then Paul answered, what are you doing? Weeping and breaking my heart. For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of my Lord. Question, was the prophetic word wrong? No, because it's exactly what happened. Paul went to Jerusalem, he was arrested, and he was persecuted. Question, were they leading him in the right direction? Absolutely not. How did Paul know? Because Paul had the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him and was able to discern which way the Holy Spirit was leading him. And Paul knew that what he was going into was of the Lord. You need to be able to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that even when you receive a word that is a prophetic word, that is a correct word, that is a word from God, you know what it is the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. You're not depending on other people to be able to do it. If God tells you to go lay down your life, you know that's what you're going to do. If God says you're going to get bound up, then God, let me get bound up for your glory. If God says you're going to marry this person, then God, make sure that person is also willing to lay down their lives for your glory. You got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You can't fall for every word that everyone declares is a prophetic word. Although the prophetic word was that Paul was going to be bound up, the enemy tried to creep in and prevent him from walking in the purpose that God wanted him to walk in. And so Paul had to have the discernment, the boldness, the courage, the sensitivity to be able to say, hey, I know how you're feeling right now, but you guys are in your feelings. I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And there's a difference. There's a difference. That's why it's important that you know how to test, that you know how to weigh. Could you imagine what the entire arch of the New Testament and all of its letters and all of its beauty and the impact that Paul had in the ministry, if he had actually listened to those people and said, okay, what do I do? Where do I go? How do I hide? How do I prevent this from happening? No, Paul had the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit enough to say, I know what's supposed to happen. And if this is ordained by God, then I'm going to follow him until my last days. And and I'm going to live. Look at his language. But even, for I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So my challenge to you is, even as you learn to discern and differentiate between a prophetic word and what's the word of God and what's not the word of God, learn to be led by the Spirit, because you are so submitted to the Spirit that you are willing to lay down your life for it. Amen.